Welcome to the Soul Bible Study Series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We're in the Gospel of John, and we are...
Week 8.
We're in week 8.
We're in the second half.
But we're only like halfway through the book, and yet we're almost done. It's really weird.
Yeah, right. From that standpoint.
Yeah.
Right. We have a week left of his life, and we have half the book left.
Yeah.
Right. So last week we saw the raising of Lazarus, and we saw that it was done for God's glory and also for Jesus's glory. And there's no doubt that Lazarus is dead. Jesus intentionally delays his trip and raises Lazarus. I mean, that was his whole goal.
Mm-hmm.
And the people say, God must be on your side. Yay! And the Pharisees say, we need to kill him and Lazarus.
Yeah.
Right? This is not looking good for us.
No.
Mary anoints Jesus with an expensive perfume. Jesus enters Jerusalem for the last time, for the last week. And then we ended last week with Jesus being distressed about his impending death, but he's still spreading his gospel message.
Yep. Yep.
And now we start, we are just right before the Passover feast, right? And
yeah.
We're in chapter 13. We were talking beforehand. You made the comment that chapters 13 through 19 take not even one day.
Right. So this will be Thursday. So the Last Supper is the Passover feast, which would have taken place probably a little after 6 o'clock in the evening. The Jewish day runs from 6 o'clock in the evening to 6 o'clock the following evening. So after 6 p.m., Thursday is actually now Friday, which is Passover.
Right.
Okay. So they're going to eat their meal. So he's going to, you know, wash their feet and everything here in chapter 13, have some conversation. But if you figure from 6 p.m. Thursday, by 6 p.m. Friday, they had to have him off the cross and in the ground before Sabbath.
Right.
Right.
So everything that happens.
That's chapter 19.
Yeah.
So literally chapters 13 through 19 are less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
This is the longest nonstop like pack of
information on what was going on
in the book. Yeah.
All right, so Jesus knows his time is short. He knew Judas is going to betray him, and yet he continued to work with his disciples. So he got up from the evening meal, and he actually washed the disciples' feet. And Peter said, "You should never wash my feet."
Yeah.
And Jesus says, "Look, if I don't wash your feet, you have no share with me." And Peter says, "Well, then wash everything."
That's right. Give me a bath, man. Yeah.
And once done, Jesus said, "I'm your teacher, and I've washed your feet. You should wash one another's feet." So a question to you, is that just a disciple kind of thing, or is that something we should be doing today?
Yeah, so there are some churches like the Brethren Church and others that actually observe foot washing as an ordinance because Jesus said you should be doing this. The thing is, though, is that after chapter 13 here, you never see it again in the New Testament. The early church in Acts didn't keep this, or at least it's not written that they kept this as a thing. There's no instructions from Paul to Christians anywhere else that they must do this. So I would say if you want to do it, if your church wants to do it, great. There's nothing against it. But as far as a command from Jesus that must be followed through, I don't see that as a pattern in the New Testament. Right. No.
Good answer. So Jesus continues and says that there is a betrayer among them. And he was identified when Jesus dipped a piece of bread and handed it to Judas. Judas takes the bread and he immediately leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says that he's leaving, that Jesus is leaving, but he also has a new commandment. And that will be, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another.
Let me back up for just a second, because last week we were talking about Jesus had talked about his death and his resurrection, and the disciples, for whatever reason, just didn't get it, right?
Yep.
And we talked for a couple of minutes about why didn't they get, you know, what was going on. I think we see the same thing here, right?
Right.
Jesus hands it to the person that I hand this to. And he hands it to Judas, and everybody's
And Judas leaves.
And Judas leaves, right? And it says...
Let's go on.
So some thought... Because Judas had the money box that Jesus was telling him to buy whatever they needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. Like, He just said, the person that I give this to. Right. So,
have you ever been someplace where something really weird happens and you can't process it, right? Yeah. Your brain has a hard time processing.
Yep. I think that just goes in with what we were talking about last time, too. It's just, I don't think they were especially dense, but there's just some.
Right. Yeah, like you said, too close.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, well, it couldn't be Judas. So obviously, we misunderstood the question, or, you know. So, right. But now Judas is gone. So this is really an important turning point in the whole thing, because now it's not Jesus and the 12, it's Jesus and the 11. So right. Everything that comes now for this next 24 hours, or especially what we're reading this week, is just Jesus and the 11. Judas never hears any of the rest of this. So right. The teaching that the 11 get, it's going to be, in a sense, actually somewhat different than what Judas heard. Yeah.
So Jesus says he's leaving a new commandment. Mm-hmm. Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We've certainly heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
And we end this chapter with Peter saying, I will lay my life down for you. And Jesus replied, before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times.
Yeah.
Which I'd love to make fun of him, but I've also been in Peter's shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. Why, I'll do anything. I don't think you will.
I don't know Jesus.
Yeah.
All right, chapter 14. You had something you wanted to talk about, the upper room discourse?
Well, yeah. So chapters 14, 15, and 16 as a package. You know, sometimes we package chapters together. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, you know, that type of thing. Chapters 14, 15, and 16 are called the upper room discourse. It's like a sermon, and they're in the upper room. Now, only chapter 14 is in the upper room, because chapters 15 and 16 become a walk and talk. But in this is where I was going with Judas. Judas doesn't hear any of this. The stuff that Jesus talks about in 14, 15, and 16 are really the most church age teaching or church related teaching than anything in the Gospels. Because this becomes final instructions for the guys who are going to start the church. Right. This stuff, almost none of this stuff is found anywhere else in the Gospels. It's all brand new. Judas never got it. And the reason that Jesus didn't teach this earlier is because Judas wasn't going to be one of those foundational apostles of the church. So as you're reading this, you're going to be like, some of this sounds really familiar, like what we teach in, you know, today. This is... Because this is foundational for the church. Yeah.
So Jesus again tells the disciples, the 11, he needs to leave to make a place for them. And he said, if I go and make ready a place for you, I'll come again and take you with me.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas said, well, we don't even know the way.
Yeah.
And Jesus, Jesus responds with, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yep.
No one comes to the Father except through me.
Yep. And we've been talking about evangelistic messages throughout John.
Yeah. So I even had in my notes, so how many ways can we get to heaven? One.
Just one.
Through Jesus.
Yep.
Yeah, through faith.
And
John's been consistent, that's for sure.
And what I like to say here is there's only one way to the Father, right? And that's through Jesus. But there's many ways. There's an infinite number of ways. Everyone has their own story of how they got to Jesus. But you have to get to Jesus before you can get to the Father.
Yeah. Nice way to put it. Jesus tells the disciples, if they obey him, he will send an advocate to be with him forever. And then he names it the Spirit of Truth or the Holy Spirit.
Some translations are going to say Comforter instead of Advocate. So,
yeah. He will reside in them and will be in them. And then later in this chapter, Jesus says, the advocate will teach you everything and will cause you to remember everything that I said.
Yeah.
So again, question to you, since we have the Holy Spirit in us as a Christian, does this apply to us that he'll cause us to remember everything?
I don't think so. Not specifically, right? Does he help us understand and guide and lead and teach and instruct and that sort of thing? Yes, but some of these guys were going to be writing the New Testament, like John for instance, yeah, exactly. Right?
90 years.
Or 60 years later. Yeah. How does John, as a 90-something-year-old, remember details of what happened 60 years ago? I think that was definitely part of what we call inspiration of the Bible. right? Is that the Holy Spirit brought those things specifically so that he, you know, as he's writing the New Testament. Right. The other, even the apostles who weren't writing apostles, they scattered all over the known world. You know, I mean, Thomas went to India, you know, Matthew went down to Arabia or maybe the other way around. It's just all of Northern Africa and just all over the place. How did they fulfill their great commission of teaching them to obey everything that I commanded you? Because the Holy Spirit was supernaturally working right. through them as they were starting the church in all these places.
Right. Jesus ends chapter 14 with saying, peace I leave with you, and then you should be happy I'm leaving.
Yeah. Right?
The ruler of this world is coming, which is Satan.
Yeah.
I am doing what the Father commanded me so that the world may know that I love the Father. And then, as you've been talking, they actually physically leave.
Yeah, the last line of chapter 14, get up, let's get out of here.
Yeah, we're out of there.
Which means that the very next thing is sort of a walk and talk. So yeah. I want you to see the 12 of them, Jesus and the 11, walking together as on Passover night, which means they can't go very far because it's a special part of the Sabbath. Right. And so everybody else, it's quiet. It's quiet as everyone else is celebrating in their homes. So there's prayer services going on. There may be some noise as they're celebrating, you know, whatever. But there's not a lot of people out walking around. Jerusalem is somewhat deserted at this point as they are leaving and getting ready to go outside the city gates.
Okay. So as they're walking, and they're walking to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus gives the last of the seven. Finally got it written down. The last of the seven
I am. Last of the seven I am.
He says, I am the true vine and my Father is a gardener. And I think this is cool. I didn't go back to all the I ams, but it certainly seemed when Jesus was making the declaration, it was what was around him.
Yeah.
You know, and this one is true too. They're if they're not in the garden, they're really close, and they know they're going to the garden. And he's talking about a true vine.
Yep, they're all. Every single one of the I ams is either in direct response. Thomas says, "We don't even know the way. Oh, I am the way."
Right.
Or it's the festival of the lights. I am the light of the world. You know, all of those things. Yeah, you're right.
Which is way cool.
It's right,
getting
there.
Everything together.
Yep.
So again, I am the vine, and my Father is a gardener, and we need to remember Jesus is with the disciples, the 11. This is one of the last teachings. So when he talks about if anyone does not remain in me, and he'll be thrown out like a branch and gathered and thrown into a fire.
Yeah.
Since the context is still on teaching the disciples, and Judas isn't even there.
Right.
That it seems like it's only for believers.
Yeah.
That he's talking about, and it's not losing a salvation issue.
Right. It's not a salvation thing. Back in chapter 13, you mentioned, you know, Peter said, well, wash all of me, right?
Right.
And Jesus, his response was, well, you don't need a whole thing. You're already clean. You just need a touch up, right? Well, that was to Peter.
Yeah, and he makes a big deal of it here.
And now here he says the same thing. You guys are already clean. I'm not worried about you guys, right?
Yeah.
So these are already saved people, to use our terminology. So yeah, this is not a loss of salvation. Right. This is a discipleship thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I do think it's cool that as you're reading this, to notice the job of the gardener, which is God. God does the pruning.
Mm-hmm.
He decides which branch to prune. Mm-hmm. And the reason for it is so it'll bear more fruit.
Yep.
But the actual pruning can hurt,
yeah.
You know, and definitely can hurt us too when we're moving. And he also decides which branches to cut out.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that aren't bearing any fruit.
Yeah.
And then there's a line in here that says, God is honored by us bearing much fruit.
Yep.
Because it shows that we are his disciples.
Yeah. There's actually a really, really cool pattern here. It says to bear fruit, bear more fruit, bear much fruit. And then you get to verse 16, fruit that remains. So there's it's this progression, right? Sometimes we get so wrapped up in the whole, I gotta be fruitful, fruit, that we forget that Jesus, right in the middle here, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing, right? So you're right, the Father's the gardener. He determines how much fruit is fruitfulness, you know, all this stuff. We are to focus on faithful and let God focus on fruitful.
Yeah,
right.
Good.
And I think that's really the big point of this section here.
At the end of chapter 15, Jesus again commands his disciples to love one another. Again, he's towards the end. He's talking to the 11. They need to help each other. They need to love each other just the way Jesus loved them.
The Upper Room Discourse, and especially chapter 15, really is the backdrop of 1 John. If you read 1 John, you're hearing echoes of this very section right here. Tons of connections between here. Yeah.
And they need to remember that the more they love God, the more the world is going to hate them.
Yeah, and that's all over the... Yeah,
yeah. And Jesus said, look, they persecuted me. They're going to do the same to you.
Yeah.
I like the way that this isn't all just smiles here, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Jesus knows he's leaving. He's trying to instill the reality on what's going to happen.
We are minutes or maybe a couple of hours, depending on how long he prays and everything. But we're potentially minutes from the betrayal and then the stuff that we'll be seeing over the next few chapters that happen over the next few hours. Yeah, I mean, this is weighing very, very heavily on him.
Yeah, and then he talks about the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will testify about Jesus, and the disciples will testify because they have been with Jesus from the beginning.
Yep.
And then we get in chapter 16, which is our last chapter from today.
Just keeps going, the conversation, yeah.
Yeah, so Jesus said all these things so that the disciples wouldn't fall away.
Yeah.
Right.
And
he tells them they're going to be kicked out of the synagogue, they're going to be killed, and that the people that are killing them think that they are serving God.
Yeah.
Right? They're sure they're doing the right thing.
I mean, that is exactly the Apostle Paul before he was saved. I mean, he's describing, in a sense, you can see the Apostle Paul right here. He believed that he was doing this for God because all these Christians were calling Jesus God and were blasphemers, right?
Right.
And God hates blasphemy. And so he was out there doing that is the power of the gospel.
Right. So Jesus says he has other things to say, but they can't handle it. So the Holy Spirit's going to tell them later.
Yeah. Cop out.
Well, it seems that way a little bit, but it also, for the rest of the books that we have that happen afterwards, if there's new things that come and it's given by the Holy Spirit, now we can go back to saying, you know, Jesus
said they were. Yeah.
This is going to happen.
Which also means that Jesus has pre-authorized this new information. So it's like, well, how does Jesus authorize the New Testament? He's going to tell you what to write down. He's going to bring to your remembrance. He's going to give you these things. And I am the one, the Father and I have sent him to do this. So the New Testament is pre-authorized by Jesus.
Right. Jesus, in my words, he gives them confusing speech again in here.
That's what they thought.
And it seems intentional, but it ends with, I came from the Father and entered into the world, but in turn, I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father.
Yeah.
And the disciples say, we understand and we believe that you came from God, which covers exactly what we talked about last week.
Yeah.
Do you believe?
Do you believe? Yeah.
Yeah. So Jesus ends the chapter telling them they're going to be scattered. And when they're scattered, Jesus is going to be left alone, but he wants his disciples to understand that he's not going to be alone because the Father is going to be with him.
Yeah.
So he wants the disciples to have peace because Jesus has conquered the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's the Prince of Peace and, you know, and all of that. But I love the last verse, right? I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In the world, you have trouble.
Yeah.
But I have conquered the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. Great place to end too.
Yeah. Yeah. So we, in just a few minutes, we covered just a few minutes of Jesus' life, right?
Right.
This is Thursday night. They're headed for the garden and everything is about, all hell is about to break loose on Jesus' life right here. Satan's biggest attack is ready to hit. But before that happens, he sets up his disciples, the apostles, so that they know what's coming and that they're prepared for it as much as they can be,
right?
They're still going to scatter. They're still going to do all the stuff, but Jesus has prepared them as much as possible.
Right.
So very cool. Very distressing time. I mean, I'm certainly don't envy their position. I'm glad I wasn't there, you know, but a marvelous time.
because knowing the end results.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because that's why we're here. Right. This is why we can be here. So read it thoughtfully, read it carefully. Again, this is a lot of church age teaching as well as he's preparing them to start the church. So you'll recognize a lot of this of stuff that we still teach today as really important for your life and your discipleship and your growth. So if you have questions or comments, please send those this way. We love to hear those and respond to those. Share this with anyone that you think needs to hear this as well. And we will pick up here same night, Thursday night, next week.
Bye.